Hi, this is Jen Pham and Sora Yi, and welcome to Pham Yi,
a space where we support each other and invite you along the journey.
Hello.
Hey. We're going to go ahead and get started with our rose, thorn, and bud.
Okay, you want to go first?
Yeah. This week, my rose is a clean house. It makes me happy. So we had our cleaners come, my dogs got washed, and I don't know what it is. It's just like when everything's in order, it just makes my life so much easier. Mm-hmm. Thorn, I don't know what season I'm in right now, but it's been emotionally more challenging. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's my hormones acting up, but it's just like one of those lonely seasons. You know you're not lonely, but like you feel lonely. So it's just like, your girls just cried every day for no reason.
Oh my God.
Kind of things. But it's
I cried almost every single day the last month I was pregnant too.
It's like a quick cry and then you get over and you move on and you just keep doing that. So my bud is, we have business events for the next 2 weekends. So I'm just happy to work and bring in money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a money maker, booty shaker.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this week, I actually have two roses and a thorn.
Ooh, love that.
My first rose is my baby Kylo. He is just such a happy baby that it just reminds me to be happy of the little things so much that I was just driving home one day and I watched this couple just walking together on the sidewalk and it just made me smile. Like, oh, that's a beautiful thing that they're doing and just happy for other people and just soaking in little things that can make me happy because he sees me or anything, he sees himself in the mirror and he's just immediately happy. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should just be immediately happy too. And the second thing is he gave Kai and I the gift of laughter.
For the first time?
Yeah, he laughed out loud with sound. Because he would do like heavy breathing, smiling, trying to figure out how to laugh. But now he laughs with sound.
Oh, that's so cute. That must have like melted your heart.
We both teared up. It was just so beautiful. It really made me so happy. And then my thorn was, last weekend was the last weekend I get to see both of my parents for another 2-ish months. I don't get to see dad until July. So that does suck. But, you know, it's nothing new for our family. So, yeah. For Bud, I want to say I'm like looking forward for something, but I guess I don't know what I'm looking forward to. I'm just taking it all in and being present.
Sometimes it's just one of those weeks.
Yeah, just those weeks. So for today's topic, we really wanted to get into money talk.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the question asked us, like, how do we bring up financial conversations with our partners? And this is actually something Sora and I have never shared with each other. So I'm really curious to hear how you and Alex started, you know, your financial conversations.
It's just one of those like big important ones you never realize you need to have until you get older.
Uh-huh. So is he the first like guy you've ever dated that you've had a financial conversation with?
No.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about marriage with other people. I think I've talked about money maybe briefly, but I never, and with Alex, it's the first time it was done in the way that I did it this time around, where we were very intentional.
Yeah.
And it was like a serious talk.
Really?
Yeah, it was a serious talk, I think.
So what happened?
All right, how did I bring it up? So I am a firm believer of bringing up that conversation earlier on, especially once you realize this person might be someone you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just kind of opened up the question. Like, we were sitting down and I asked what does he envision in his life with a significant other? Where are you financially? Mm-hmm. What I'm not sure if I asked him how much he makes, but I think at one point we did kind of start being honest with each other, and I said how much I had in my account, how much he had in his account, mm-hmm. what savings are. One question I did ask was, do you have any loans, mm-hmm. Or debt you have to pay back? That's an important question because their debt becomes your debt. It was like a sit down conversation. And it followed up with things about family, like coming mm-hmm. from a divorced family, and financial problems were part of that. I didn't want that to be something that affected my relationship.
For sure.
And independency. Like, I wanted to see, are you okay if there's any point where maybe I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, you know? Like, do you want someone who's independent like you, and we're mm-hmm. bringing a two-income family into the household? Like, things like that. I think that's important.
You guys brought all this up in your first conversation.
No, this is not in our first date.
Okay, because
no.
I was like,
okay, but to be fair, I figured I wanted to be with him, like, a month or two in.
Okay.
Yeah, so like a month or two in our relationship, I was like, this is the guy I want to marry.
Yeah.
And so the conversation did happen pretty early, because once I knew that, I didn't want to waste more time.
Yeah.
Like, if I already fell in this deep and you already fell in this deep, let's make sure we're falling in line with what we foresee in our future. Do you want to have a joint bank account? Do you mm-hmm. want us to have separate accounts where you can use your money mm-hmm. and I can use my money, and then we have one account together?
Yeah.
You know, things so, like that.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. I think Kat and I were kind of similar, but not really. In a sense of... it was just that I didn't know he was my person until later. We didn't have it that serious, those really serious conversations to begin with. Ours started with, like, we just came home from work one day and we were just talking on the couch. And I asked him, like, what are your dreams and aspirations? And that conversation kind of led to, so where are you at financially? You know what I mean?
You, like, smoothly went into that.
Do you see yourself doing what you're doing in your career for the rest of your life? Like, is this really what you want to do? And those conversations kind of led to, like, okay, where are you at financially? Like, are you where you want to be? Are you on the trajectory of where you want to be financially? And that's kind of how the conversations came up. And I think that's a really smooth way to...
That is a smooth.
Bring it in, just especially if you're just in those I'm still figuring it out stages, like we're still arguing stages, not like we're arguing all the time, but it's just after the puppy stage, then you're like, okay, I'm starting to see what your habits are, I'm starting to really see who you are, and now I want to figure out more, and are we aligned? And at that time it was right at the end of the pandemic, where I was still getting myself financially situated and I was putting in good financial habits for myself. And I think that's kind of how our conversations came up. Let's be completely raw, vulnerable, and share where we're at. And that was tough because I never talked about finances like that with anyone else, where you just feel naked, you know?
It is so vulnerable talking about your expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because you make, like, really dumb decisions. And you know, I'm not scared to say. At that time, I was in $13,000 debt. And I was like, I'm in debt. But if you were to ask me, what am I in debt for? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I spent my money on. I don't know. But because I was so honest mm-hmm. with where I was at, we worked together and I completely got out of debt. And we were both clear of debt. And that was just like a really good feeling, like a goal we worked together on.
And you guys helped each other out?
Yeah. And we held each other accountable financially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's teamwork. Yeah, and that was before marriage. So
oh, wow, yeah, that's great.
I mean, we cleared it all out when we were fiancés.
I mean, that just like set the foundation, I feel like, for your marriage, and you probably went into your wedding knowing,
like
pretty confident that you guys can do all these things together.
Yeah.
Because most people don't even encounter something like that until like after they're already married.
Yeah. I mean, and I think for me, it was like I was reading all these financial books and listening to all these financial conversations on podcasts and stuff. And I was like, oh, like I really should get my life together. and then I was like, wait, I want to be with a partner who is also there already or on the same page as me. So that's kind of how our conversations happened. But I know you brought up the whole bank situation. How did you guys decide on what you guys would do setting up banks?
So we ended up getting a joint account. And we still have our own separate accounts. We didn't put everything into one. And I think that also comes from watching my parents. Well, my mom got remarried, so I kind of watched their dynamic, which it's different because that's her second marriage. And so it's like, it may not necessarily be how you should approach your first marriage if you want it to be like a team effort kind of thing. But for now, we do have a joint. And my financial situation doesn't look anything like what I thought it was going to look like. So we were two incomes and it was fine working that way. But now I'm a stay-at-home mom and he is the breadwinner of the house right now, which is different. And so he puts in the money into our joint account and we talked about budgeting. So we figured out what we need per month to use. And then that's what we would put in. And I think for the rest, I kind of trust him to put into the savings, like into different kind of savings for other areas that we've talked about.
That's so crazy because Cotton and I dynamics like the opposite.
What is yours like?
Well, we first made our joint account, which was a savings account.
Okay.
That's what we first did for the wedding.
Okay.
So we were engaged for almost a year and a half. And we budgeted, okay, how much are we going to put into the savings account to pay for our wedding? And that was our first joint account. Then we created another joint checking. Well, actually, we started a couple businesses together and that, we, you know, we did the whole business thing. But for personal, we made a joint account and we were like, okay, and this joint account is going to cover for all of our living expenses, our utilities, our mortgage, things like that. And then we have separate accounts and that's my money and that's his money kind of thing. Even though we are a team and we do meet up quarterly, we have quarterly goals together. We also chat monthly financial goals and things like that. So, I mean, he trusts me to put in money into our savings. I'm the one who keeps a record of how much money is in our investment accounts, how much money is in our 401ks, Roth IRAs. I'm just an Excel person in the family. Okay, we opened a 529 account, which is basically a investment account for our children's education. And I budgeted how much we should put in there and things like that. So he just trusts that I do it. I do still have the conversation with him of like, hey, this is how much is going in. And he's just like, okay, I trust you. I mean, he does have access to all the accounts, but he's just like, okay, I'm just going to bring in the money. And then I created this habit once because I was in so much debt. I had to really have a tight control of how my spending was and my bad habits. So every week, which I still do this now, and I've been doing this for over 3 years, I write down how much we spent per week. So then the next week, we kind of know, oh, like, do we have extra money to spend in our fun money bucket or do we need to cool it? And that's kind of how we decide per week, just making sure that we're aligned with our fund money goals for the month, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like your own team effort in a way that works for you too.
Yeah, because if I'm gonna swipe, oh my gosh, it's not stop. I'm not tracking. Nothing's gonna happen. But if I write it down, oh man, it hurts. I'm like, okay, I might should return some Amazon stuff.
Yeah.
So I do write it down every Friday, and we do keep track of our weekly expenses and what we're spending. You know, going out to eat, groceries, baby stuff, fun baby stuff. Yeah. Baby clothes. We still include in the conversation, yeah, but we kind of already give the idea of like, hey, this is what we should do. Yeah. But what do you think?
Yeah, so.
I definitely love that for you guys.
I think it's just whatever works for the couple that you guys are in. And it's ever changing. Like, I don't feel like this is a system that's going to be in place in this way forever.
Yeah.
One, because I don't think I can survive the rest of my life just not making my own income as well. So like, I know this is a period where the baby's about to be here, someone needs to be home, like, and I would graciously do that right now. Like, that's something I want to do. And so this is the time period where I know this is just how it's going to be. And then later on, because we also have a business together that I'm taking over more so right now while he focuses on his other job.
Yeah.
So then we'll have to see where it takes us.
I love that you bring in being dynamic, because we slowly transition where he covers our expenses and I cover our fun money.
Oh.
And our savings and stuff like that, where he covers our car loans or whatever, our house, our utilities, and then I'll cover like food. It kind of slowly transitioned that way, but it wasn't on purpose. And you know what I mean? It just kind of happens where he's like, hey, I re-put all the money we needed for this month and, you know, use the rest of the money, whatever you want to do, because he trusts whatever I spend our money on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's pretty much how we navigate our financial conversations now.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. So if you and Alex didn't know that you knew you guys were the one in like 2 month time frame, and you guys were like, oh, I'm gonna go tie the knot, how would you have the financial conversations at that, like, after you guys already decided like, hey, we're engaged?
Oh, like if the conversation didn't come up earlier and it was brought up later on?
Yeah,
it still hasn't been brought up.
It hasn't been brought up as boyfriend and girlfriend. This is how I would bring it up, bringing up what I want for a wedding. It's like, hey, are we gonna have a wedding? Because if so, what is your budget? You know, because they just bought you this nice ring or what have you. Then you're like, oh, now how much can you afford for a wedding and how much can I afford?
This is something that I did, but I think I would have done this at just as well the same if we were engaged, is I would have said we need to go to premarital counseling, because premarital counseling allows you to have conversations that are uncomfortable, target things that you guys may have not talked about, and finance is one of them. So it would have been my way of opening that gate.
I think that's really great.
Yeah, and having someone else facilitate it as well.
Yeah, because I went to marriage counseling too.
And you guys talked about finance, right?
Yeah, that was one of the classes. It's not finance.
Long.
It's not. It was, I believe it was like an hour and a half every Sunday. And, you know, they brought up how finances are so important that it's one of the reasons why people divorce. And so then I actually looked up the stats of this year. So there was a Forbes article that came out in January this year, and it says like the reasons why couples divorce, and the stats are 58% due to just arguing and like a lot of conflict. And then 45% is due to being married young, which is actually crazy that that's one of the reasons on the list. And then 38% is due to financial problems. So to me, but you can definitely avoid and resolve the conflict of financial issues if you are ahead of it.
Yeah, for sure. you're never confident to know what's going to happen in the future, but you can always plan for it. And I think planning helps. And
yeah.
Planning is like having those conversations earlier on about like, what would we do if this was a situation that came up?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what happened. I said, what would we do? How would you feel if I ended up not having income and that situation exactly happened? And I'm glad we were on the same page.
Even if the plans were to change, it's still there. We have a backup plan and we have a backup plan. Or we're now so comfortable having these conversations that the whole figuring out part, it comes easier.
It does.
You know?
It's harder to argue about it because you've already had this conversation.
Right.
And it's like, we've already stated what we were going to do and we've already stated like how we were going to handle it.
I think that also comes with financial security. In a sense of, hey, even if you guys are still working to get wherever you guys are going to be at, it's like, okay, but at least we have a plan and I feel safe with you.
Yeah.
I feel safe that I can have these conversations and I feel safe that whatever happens, we're going to get over it and we're going to get through it. And I think when Ka and I hit our like financial freedom of like no debt, we were like the happiest ever. And I think it's just because one, it was like a team goal, but then two, we actually held each other accountable. And then now if it were to ever happen again, like that we fell in a hole, life happens, then I know we can get through it again.
Yeah.
Like easy.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen if we ever got into a hole.
Just get out of it.
Communication, yeah. Get out of it. Communication. Communication is important.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, just be honest, be open. At the end of the day, that is the partner you chose. Mm-hmm. So you might as well make it easier for both of you and just be upfront. I think things get worse when things are being hidden.
Yeah.
That, like, if anything, I think trust, it breaks down trust, which I think is important when it comes to finance.
I think trust is just important when it comes to a relationship.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because it messes up the foundation. Why were you going through all this and you didn't even share with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you have to carry this burden alone?
Yeah. Like, I hate how money is such a sensitive topic. It's one of those things that literally can ruin so many relationships, family, friends, you know, your marriage, significant other, everything. And it sucks because our world revolves around money. Everything we do revolves around money. But you just got to learn how to navigate through it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a tangent, but my sister was saying to me like, hey, Jen, you're the only person I know that if you were to allow someone to borrow money, you're always like, okay, well, when are you going to pay me back? And oh I was like, they were like, yeah, you just think everything is a business transaction. And when my sister said that, I was like, wait a second. I do not think people are business transactions. I just think I work hard for my money.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to allow someone to have my money for a little bit, I would like to know when it comes back. Because it's not like I hate confrontational conversations, but I hate to ask somebody who needed money when they're going to give me it back, when I need my money back.
Yeah, it's valid. So this brings me, you just, I have a question for you.
What?
In your relationship,
okay.
Let's say there's a situation where Ka needs to lend out, you know, like his friend needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And Ka is willing to lend him money. Would you, one, interfere with that? Let's say it's quite a big sum of money, and it's from his own account.
But as his
wife partner, how would you handle that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really lucky that I know he would have that conversation with me. And to me, if you were to lend out money and it's your money, to a certain extent, I'm okay with it because you worked hard for it.
Yeah.
If I were to go shopping, I want you to tell me like I can't buy something that I worked hard for my money for. But at the same time, if we never get that money back, would that burden us?
Mm-hmm.
Because might as well just give them the money. It's kind of how I feel about it. If we were to lose the money as if we're never going to get it back and it doesn't hurt us, then I'm definitely okay with it. because when it comes to barring with friends, I don't know. It's kind of scary.
It is scary.
But when you borrow with family, it's like no matter what. I mean, I'm not saying all family members pay you back, but I do think that family member is going to see you a lot more often.
I believe in, like, your own freedom. You're still your own person.
Mm-hmm.
I would appreciate a conversation being had, but it's ultimately, it's your money. You worked for it. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't want someone to try to tell me what to do with whatever I deem fit and trusting his instincts. I think if anything, I would be more concerned in a protective kind of way to make sure that he wasn't getting walked over or screwed mm-hmm. over, you know, like in that's that aspect. If we lose the money, we lose the money. That's unfortunate, you know, like we'll learn and grow from it. But I think as long as like you and I are on the same page and I have your back, you have my back.
I think the biggest issue isn't us lending the money. I think the biggest issue for me is if we lent the money and then now I have a bad taste of his friends. I think that's what's going to be hard for me to differentiate. Oh, just because one of his friends is a bad seed or a bad apple, that doesn't mean all of his friends are. And luckily, this has never been the case, but that would be the hardest part for me, is just to overcome trusting the people he trusts again. And it's sad to say it like that. I don't know.
No, it is sad, but I think it's true because you as a friend would probably be more forgiving toward your friend,
mm-hmm.
but your partner doesn't have that same loyalty to that person.
Yeah.
And they may not view it in that same sense. And maybe they saw you struggling. If you were going through a financial problem of your own and you weren't able to get that back, they saw you stress out and it might have affected the way that they viewed that person.
Yeah. And I think it also goes hand in hand with when I let people borrow my money, I'm like, hey, I worked hard for my money, but I also see my partner working hard for their money. And if they were to lose it, it doesn't hurt just hit us financially. It also hurts us emotionally.
It does.
And if he's willing to still lend and go through that, like I will still go through that with you. But man, if they don't pay you back, that risk is what's like, ugh. But yeah, if they pay you back, whatever.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not my money. But yeah, no, I think that's a good thing to bring up. All right. Well, thanks for sharing with me today.
You too. I really like this talk. We've never actually had a conversation about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to hear perspective. All right.
Well, tune in for next week because we have a really fun episode coming up.
Yeah. And also let us know how you guys brought up your financial conversations, if you had or if you haven't. Like, we're really here for you guys.
Yeah. And also give us more advice if you think there are better ways to having these conversations, because I'm sure we're going to have more.
Yeah. And tough things are coming. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if I can get through it. Like, let us know what you guys have gone through, your really tough financial conversation stories of how did you guys go through that? Or if you have been divorced, was financial conversations and finances the main cause of your divorce?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.